Blog Talk Radio.
In Dallas, Texas, on Monday, October the 19th, 2 weeks to go pretty much with the election. We're heading down to the stretch. So we're going to be talking a great deal about the election and bringing in some of our friends and some of the people that we've talked to in the past about what could be happening and what could be developing out there in the country. There's a lot of early voting going on, and there's a lot of ballots that have been mailed out to people. So a lot of things, you know, a lot of balls are up in the air. So tonight we're going to focus on what's happening in Texas, and particularly in North Texas. And joining us tonight is our good friend who's been a guest many times on our show, and that's Tom Washington, who's going to be joining us tonight. So let me say hello to Tom. Tom, it's always a great honor to have you. Welcome to the show, and it's always just absolutely great to talk politics with you. So hello.
Well, thank you, Silvio. I'm happy to be here, and thanks for inviting me to join you this evening.
My pleasure. Just as a quick update, Tom, I always ask our guests to tell us what they're up to at the moment. What are you working on now? What are some of the activities, if you could give us a little update?
Well, I have to admit, I served as the State Republican Party treasurer up through 2017. But in the libertarian takeover of the state party, I moved my activities more to local matters in the Benton County Republican Party, where I currently serve as treasurer. I also run a PAC fund called the North Texas PAC for Trust, Honesty, and Integrity, and we do a lot of our election activities through that PAC fund.
Interesting. So you're very much involved in politics. Just to remind the audience, those who are hearing us for the first time tonight, I first met Tom in 1988 when we had just bought a house in Carrollton in 1988. In fact, I think our second son had just been born, and he's now an attorney practicing in Denton, and we have a grandson from him. So time flies, Tom, as you know, with your own kids.
It does. I've got two grandkids myself.
Yeah, so it's been a while since I've known you. But let's talk a little bit about what's happening here in Texas. Let's start with early voting. What's your sense on early voting? There's a theory out there. A lot of experts bring this up, that early voting is very often done more by Democrats, who tend to organize group voting more than Republicans. The Republicans tend to be more disciplined and vote on election day. The early voting numbers, it's hard to tell what they're saying, but what do they say to you? I mean, when you see these early voting numbers, Tom, what do you feel? I mean, what is it saying to you?
Well, let's move back a little bit to what happened before early voting. Both parties have been working this election hard. The Democrats think that they're going to turn Texas blue, and the Republicans want to take back some of the seats that they lost during the Beto sweep, when straight ticket voting provided a lot of Democrat candidates who weren't even running hard with brand new offices. And so the Republicans are concentrating on taking those back. So there was a registration project that was put together by Karl Rove and Steve Ministeri at the Republican Party of Texas. And that registration project blew through all of their goals for registering new Republican voters, mostly move-ins from other states, but also people that were known to be Republican that for some reason or another, hadn't registered. And so we saw record registration in this. Our registered voter rolls went up almost 1.9 million in the last 2 years. That's huge. Well, are those people actually going to turn out and vote? There's a question. But parties, both parties trying to do these registration drives, there's a big push to get more people out, and the Democrats to try to swamp the Republican voters with new voters, and the Republicans to try to make sure that they keep the state. And some of that, I think, may be driving the early vote that we see in the polls. You know, more voters registering to vote that are showing up for the first time to vote, really high activity, high interest, and they show up. So I will share some data that I have on that. It's hot off the press. I have access to data and research that's very reliable. And, you know, I won't tell who it comes from, but it's the same data that the state party and all the big guys have access to in the state. And the data says on the first report last week, individuals with previous Democrat primary election history held a slightly higher share of all the votes cast compared to the Republican primary election history, and it was about 4%. But starting on Friday, the beginning of this weekend, it's flipped, and the Republicans now have held a larger share. So, you know, for those that said the Democrats were coming out early, but, you know, no more voters were going to show up than ever did, well, maybe that's true. Now the Republicans are starting to show up. And when you look at the pool of known Republican primary voters and known Democrat primary voters, we've got twice as many Republican primary voters who have still not voted yet, but about 500,000 Democrats have not yet voted. So, you know, the indication looks like maybe the Democrats came out early in early voting, but at the end of the day, may not really end up voting a whole lot more than they have in the past. Remember, we're in a culture war. Feelings are high on both sides. If you've been watching the ads for all these congressional candidates and state rep candidates, you know, the Republicans are attacking the Democrats, and the Democrats are attacking the Republicans, and the ads almost look the same. And that's because of our culture war. So people have a heightened sense that they have to vote to keep their culture, to keep their way of life. Other side couldn't be further apart.
Yeah, you're right. There's a lot of passion here on both sides, and I think that's evident by the brochures that I get. We live in District 24, and there, you know, I can see one of the things that Beth Van Hoon is doing in her campaign is really focusing, and I think this is really smart, really focusing on defunding the police and really wrapping the law and order issue around her. And I think that's a very effective campaign. But you're right, there's a lot of passion. But how many, you know, in 2018, I think one of the things that really helped the Democrats was extremely good organization and the straight party ticket voting. That I think contributed to helping a lot of the down ballot Democrats who probably would not have done as well if people were still going down ballot to vote. Do you think that the elimination of the straight party is hurting the Democrats this year, or is it really an issue at all, Tom?
Yes, I think it is hurting the Democrats because of past performance that I have been able to observe in the polls whenever I've worked in the polls. The Democrat voters typically need a lot of help with their ballots to mark them. And, you know, someone may be able to help them mark one box, but it's going to be a real challenge to help them mark all the boxes going up and down the ballot. Now, you may have noticed if you looked at a sample ballot, that in the general election, the Republican candidate is always listed first.
Mm-hmm, yes.
So if someone notices that and they're always checking the first box, then they'll be checking the Republicans. And if they're checking the second box, they're usually checking the Democrat candidate. I think that people are still voting straight party ballots because of the culture war. The question is, how far down the bottom are they going to go? Are they going to stop after Congress? Are they going to stop after senator, after president? You know, not a lot of people don't know the judges. And
right.
Most of the judges are right in the middle of the ballot, right below the railroad commissioner.
Mm-hmm.
So are they going to skip over the judges that they don't know and then go past that to get to the municipal candidates and some of the other candidates that are lower down on the ballot?
Yeah.
You know, generally speaking, if you go from past history, there's a big drop-off of undervotes, which is what it's called, and they typically don't do that.
Yeah. Well, let's take a look at some specific races here and maybe get your reaction. I'll just, you know, I'll give you my opinion, and then you agree or disagree with me. I think Senator Cornyn will be reelected. And I'm guessing anywhere, maybe not 10 plus points, but he'll be close to 10 points. Do you agree with that?
He'll get reelected, but it's going to be closer, 7 to 8 points.
Okay. All right, 7 to 8. Well, that's still a fairly significant number. I think President Trump will carry Texas by at least 5. I'm going to say about 7 or 8, very similar to what you said about Cornyn.
I expect that President Trump will win Texas. The real question is the 6 or 7 states that at this point are really electing the president.
Right.
Because the other states are, including ourselves, are so entrenched on one side or the other.
Mm-hmm.
Those states are going to go back and forth right up to Election Day.
Okay.
I do know that President Trump is having rallies up there.
Mm-hmm.
He's having rallies where he gets several thousand people, maybe several tens of thousands of people, and Biden might fill a small auditorium. So, you know, if those people are there to vote for Trump, I don't know why Trump wouldn't win the second term.
Yeah, well, I agree. I think there's a lot of enthusiasm for Trump. You don't see the same for Biden. I agree with that. Let's look at some races now, more closer to home. As I said, I live in number 24. I think that Beth is running a really good campaign and will win that district. That, of course, was the district that Congressman Marchand had for quite some time. Do you agree with me on 24? I see her winning. She's running a very good campaign.
I'm in 24 also, and so Beth would also be my congressperson. I have her sign out in my front yard.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think that Candace Valenzuela will win that race.
Yeah. Well, she's not that strong of a candidate. I mean, that I think is fair to say. For example, if you look at some of the other Democrats, like Colin Aldred, who I think has probably a pretty good chance of being reelected. You know, he's a much better candidate, I think, than Valenzuela. And you know, the quality of candidate means a lot, as you know, Tom.
Yeah, but if you look at the ads that Genevieve Collins is running against Allred, and the ads that Beth Van Dyne is running against Candace Valenzuela, they're very, very similar.
Oh, they are, yeah.
Both campaigns are getting major funding from the national congressional funds.
Mm-hmm.
And, in fact, I would have to say all 4 candidates are getting funding from their national interests, because these are races that the Democrats think they can win, and the Republicans want to recover this 32, which was Pete Sessions' old seat. Colin
right.
Allred now has. They want to recover that. Now, Genevieve is in Highland Park.
Mm-hmm.
She's very well known in Highland Park. Colin Allred, I don't know where he lives, but Highland Park and some other areas of Dallas have usually controlled that seat and where it goes. If you look at 24, okay, Beth is ex-Irving mayor from Dallas County. Candace
mm-hmm.
Valenzuela is CFBISD from Dallas County, Carrollton. So you got mm-hmm. two Dallas County people running for a Tarrant County seat. Most people don't think of 24th Tarrant County seat, but it is.
Mm-hmm.
All the votes
That's right.
are in Tarrant County for that seat. Tarrant
right.
County is very conservative. I know Beth has a lot of support in Tarrant County. I don't hear that Candace has much.
No, I don't either. In fact, she's been fairly quiet in this campaign. I compare 2020 to 2018. I mean, back in 2018, I was getting something from Beto every day in the mail. Literally every day I got something from him. Obviously, he was running for the Senate. I understand that. But his campaign was really active in this area. And I don't really see the same intensity for Valenzuela at all. Now, a lot of people are suspecting, Tom, and, you know, I know making predictions is a tough business, and maybe it's too early to make them, but a lot of people are thinking that this is the year that the Democrats have a chance to flip the Texas House. I don't see that. How do you see it? I mean the State House, not the congressional delegation.
No, I know what you meant.
Yeah.
I know what you meant. It wouldn't take much. I mean, it's within a 7 to 8 seat gap after Beto helped capture a bunch of seats.
Mm-hmm.
So if the Republicans can win those seats back, probably not. But a lot of very experienced Republicans got knocked out of the House, and they're not rerunning. So you've got a lot of new Republicans running against those one-term incumbents. Like, for instance, in 65,
mm-hmm.
my local HD race is a good example. Michelle Beckley,
yes.
who was voted the most liberal member of the Texas House, is representing my area of Denton County plus Dallas County, my area of Denton County, which is the southeast corner. Well, yeah, there's some liberals here, but not like that. Kronda
mm-hmm.
Timmish is running a good campaign to get that back, and I expect that she will. You've got Pat Fallon, who's stepped up into an empty congressional seat that he's trying to capture and probably will. Well, his state Senate seat is going to be run on a special election. And it's between Shelley Luther and Drew Springer,
mm-hmm.
Drew being a very experienced state rep. There's no appreciable Democratic person in that state Senate race, so that seat will stay Republican. So if you look at little things like that, I don't plan to know all the 150 races
mm-hmm.
for state rep across the state, but I think the House will stay Republican.
Yeah, well, I mean, my area is Michelle Beckley, and that was a real surprise in 2018. I think she was one of those who really benefited from the Beto wave.
No doubt.
Really,
no doubt at all.
Yeah, and without Beto and without straight party, I think her chances diminish a lot. One of the things that I've noticed is she's not I don't see as many of her signs. I don't mean in people's homes, but just in street corners and all of that.
They're out there. She just elected the smaller signs. I don't think she has the financial support from anybody to help her with her race.
Yeah, she does. I don't see as much of her. Anything else, Tom, that you want to mention? I know we've covered a lot and anything that we missed?
Something that you should keep
yeah.
an eye on is for the first time, we had municipal races in November.
Yes.
Those municipal races, instead of being decided by 2,000 to 3,000 to 4,000 votes, are now going to be decided by 40,000 or 50,000 votes.
Interesting.
If you recall, there's a gentleman by the name of Zul Muhammad who
mm-hmm.
actually
yes.
got caught writing his own mail-in ballots for his race for Carrollton mayor. He's now up, I believe, 120 felony counts. But the thing is he could actually be elected Carrollton mayor. If there's 40,000 votes in that race and somehow the Democrats really turn out in the Dallas County portion of the city of Carrollton, which is possible, in the Julie Johnson-Karen Browley race, Zuhl could get elected.
Well, that would be interesting. That would be interesting.
So keep an eye on the municipal races. There may be some, you know, pretty surprising gains there because of the number of people that are voting and the fact that those races are not well-funded and they don't have a chance of really influencing 40,000 voters.
That's right. That's a very good point. And you know, that incident with the mayor and the fact that he was indicted and all that, or has all these charges against him, certainly put the city of Carrollton in the national map.
Well, it also pointed out that, voter fraud is real.
Right.
It is real that they can fill out ballots. And I'll tell you what's even more startling, and the Dallas Morning News has not talked about this at all, except in passing. Okay, he got caught by a very good Denton County Elections Office, right?
Mm-hmm.
And Tracy Murphy, our Denton County Sheriff, was on the ballot, by the way. His investigators followed him to the P.O. box that he had in Louisville and then home and caught him. Well, you know, half his race is down in Dallas County. What do you think the chances are that Zuhl does not have a Dallas County P.O. box and a whole bunch of ballots in the Dallas County portion that he's marked for himself? And yet the Dallas County Elections Department found nothing.
That's right. That's interesting. You're exactly right.
And that's run, that's a blue department, where the Denton County Department is a red department, if you want to talk about the county's influence. Now, the Attorney General has investigators looking into it, but the Dallas County Elections Department has detected nothing.
Right. Very fascinating. Well, Tom, listen, I want to thank you for your time tonight. Absolutely informative, and we'll keep an eye on all of this. But I think the next 2 weeks, obviously, are going to be very interesting in figuring out what's going to happen in November. But I feel good about cautiously good, I guess I should say. But I feel pretty good about President Trump and Senator Cornyn and the legislators here in the area. So thank you so much for your time. Thank you for joining us on short notice. And once again, thank you for the great work that you do and all the information you always provide us.
Thank you for the invitation, Silvio. I always look forward to being able to talk to you.
Thank you so much. Have a wonderful you do know it was 32 years that we met. Isn't that something?
That is a long time, but that is great.
Okay. Thank you, Tom.
I guess we have to get together for lunch.
That's right. We sure do. Thank you very much, and thank my best to your family.
Thank you, Sylvia. Yours too.
Thank you so much. Our good friend, Tom Washington, always enjoy chatting with him, and it was in 1988 when we had the opportunity to meet right there in the Carrollton area, and always enjoy chatting politics with him. Always check with him when there's something going on here in Texas, and there is a lot going on here in Texas, and some good reasons to feel good about, but as I always tell everybody, the most important thing is you got to vote. You got to make sure you get out there and vote. I mean, that's the key. That's the biggest thing you can control is your vote, and I already voted, so at least I did my part in all of this. Good night, everybody. This is Silvio Canto in Dallas, and we'll talk to you later.